Mini episode 827 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 827. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of season 3 of Fargo. Here are the five most intriguing hints about the season from what has been released publicly by the creative team. Number 5, left unclear so far is the tie to the rest of the Fargoverse. By this point, we know the rule. Each season of this anthology will be tied to either another season or to the movie. Season 1 was tied to the movie by dint of Stavros Milos, the supermarket king of Minnesota, having found the seed money for his empire in the form of the stolen, buried ransom from the movie. Season 2 was something of a prequel to Season 1 as Lou Salverson, father of the first season protagonist Molly Salverson, was participating in the biggest case of his career almost 3 decades earlier. In terms of the Fargoverse timeline, Season 1 took place in 1979, the movie was set in 1987, and Season 2 took place in 2006 and 2007. We do know that Season 3 is set in 2010, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it has much in common tonally with Season 1, because Season 2 and the movie were set only 8 years apart, but it felt way more than that, with last season's constant, "Hey, weren't the 70s weird? Gaga." As a matter of fact, with 2010 taking place relatively early in the era of smartphones and gadgets, one theme is that protagonist Gloria Burgle, a recently divorced mom and chief of the Eden Valley Police, is befuddled by people's preference of gadgets over legitimate human connection, and that's a notion that wasn't anywhere in sight in Season 1. Number 4. In the latest example of daring casting from a Fargo project, Ewan McGregor plays two separate lead characters. McGregor plays Emmett Stussy, the parking lot king of Minnesota, and his less successful younger brother Ray, who blames him for his lot in life. The hard-living Ray actually appears older than Emmett, and it's hard to tell from the pictures released by FX that they are portrayed by the same actor, which is a strong indicator of tremendous makeup and character work done by those involved. Inevitably, the two brothers end up at odds, setting in motion the crime story at the center of every Fargo chapter. In terms of other members of the cast, Mary Elizabeth Winstead plays Nikki Swango, Ray's attractive fiancé, a tough ex-con who excels in competitive bridge tournaments. Michael Stuhlbarg is Cy Feltz, Emmett's attorney and consigliere. Scoot McNairy plays Maurice LaFay, a stoner and incompetent criminal. Jim Gaffigan is Donnie Mashman, a police deputy. And David Thewlis plays V.M. Vargo, a representative of a syndicate that made Emmett a dubious loan. Number 3. While neither of the two Stussy brothers seems very sympathetic, the dynamic between them is worsened by the devils on their shoulders. Emmett's lawyer and Ray's fiancé each pour fuel on the fire of the rivalry, continuing the Fargo pattern of early miscalculations leading to miseries far worse than anyone can fathom. While early reviews indicate that the drama unfolds slowly, large, season-defining events do transpire in the season opener, also in keeping with Fargo tradition. Number 2. Just as the shadow of the financial crisis of 2008 and the Great Recession hung over the year 2010, so too does it loom over this story set in that year. Emmett's loan was necessitated by the downturn, and by the time this story opens, he is ready to settle the debt, only to find out that the matter is much more complicated. As it was in previous Fargo chapters, the theme of money as an inducement to evil is omnipresent in this story. Number 1. Overall, the commercials and hints being dropped in the media indicate that this season will have more of a feel of Season 1 rather than Season 2. Again, the 21st century time period has something to do with this educated guess, but it seems more like the overall story will be a little more streamlined than Season 2's gang war from multiple perspectives. If you preferred season two as we did, then expectations should be tempered a bit. But really, none of the three Fargo projects released over the last two decades have been anything other than stellar. And this chapter of the anthology looks extremely promising as well, and we'll be covering it as it happens. Thank you for tuning in to this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.